to examine the contentions and conceits of some paradoxers a little more closely, and to connect and contrast their doctrines with other belief systems, both scientific and religious. Both borderline science and many religions are motivated in part by a serious concern about the nature of the universe and our role in it, and for this reason merit our consideration and regard. In addition, I think it possible that many religions involve at their cores an attempt to come to grips with profound mysteries of our individual life histories, as described in the last chapter. But both in borderline science and in organized religion, there is much that is specious or dangerous. While the practitioners of such doctrines often wish there were no criticisms to which they are expected to reply, skeptical scrutiny is the means, in both science and religion, by which deep insights can be winnowed from deep nonsense. I hope my critical remarks in these pages will be recognized as constructive in intent. The well-meaning contention that all ideas have equal merit seems to me little different from the disastrous contention that no ideas have any merit. This book, then, is about the exploration of the universe and ourselves. That is, it is about science. The range of topics may seem very diverse, from a crystal of salt to the structure of the cosmos, myth and legend, birth and death, robots and climates, the exploration of the planets, the nature of intelligence, the search for life beyond the Earth. But, as I hope will emerge, these topics are connected because the world is connected. And also, because human beings perceive the world through similar sense organs and brains and experiences that may not reflect the external realities with absolute fidelity. Each chapter of Broca's Brain is written for a general audience. In a few places, such as Venus and Dr. Velikovsky, Norman Bloom, Messenger of God, Experiments in Space, and The Past and Future of American Astronomy, I have included an occasional technical detail. But understanding such details is not necessary for understanding the overall flow of the discussion. Some of the ideas in chapters 1 and 25 were first presented in my William Menninger Memorial Lecture to the American Psychiatric Association in Atlanta, Georgia, in May 1978. Chapter 16 is based on a banquet address at the annual meeting of the National Space Club, Washington, D.C., April 1977. Chapter 18, on an address at a symposium commemorating the first liquid-fuel rocket flight held at the Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., March 1976. Chapter 23, on a sermon delivered at the Sage Chapel Convocation, Cornell University, November 1977. And Chapter 7, on a talk at the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, February 1974. This book is written just before, at most, I believe, a few years or a few decades before, the answers to many of those vexing and awesome questions on origins and fates are pried loose from the cosmos. If we do not destroy ourselves, most of us will be around for the answers. Had we been born 50 years earlier, we could have wondered, pondered, speculated about these issues, but we could have done nothing about them. Had we been born 50 years later, the answers would, I think, already have been in. Our children will have been taught the answers before most of them will have had an opportunity even to formulate the questions. By far the most exciting, satisfying, and exhilarating time to be alive is the time in which we pass from ignorance to knowledge on these fundamental issues, the age where we begin in wonder and end in understanding. In all of the 4 billion-year history of life on our planet, in all of the 4 million-year history of the human family, there is only one generation privileged to live through that unique transitional moment. That generation is ours. Ithaca, New York, October 1978. Part 1. Science and Human Concern. Chapter 1. Broca's Brain. They were apes only yesterday. Give them time. Once an ape, always an ape. No, it will be different. Come back here in an age or so, and you shall see. The gods discussing the Earth in the motion picture version of H.G. Wells' The Man Who Could Work Miracles, 1936. It was a museum in a way like any other,